Turn your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. I want us to look tonight at Joseph, a man at God's disposal. Joseph, a man at God's disposal. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till he had brought her forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east and are come to worship. When Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said, in Bethlehem of Judea, thus it is written by the prophet, thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. And then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. And when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and it stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed to their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee into Egypt. Be there till I bring thee word. Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And then Herod, of course, does that. In verse 19, when Herod was dead, the angel of the Lord appeared again in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother. Go into the land of Israel, for they are dead, which sought the young child's life. He arose, he took the young child and his mother, came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus reigned in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into parts of Galilee. And he came, and he dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled what was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we bow before your word this day, where the Word became flesh and it dwelt among us. And the instruments that you used in bringing this about, we are confounded and amazed in the fact that you do take up simple worms and use us for thy glory and thy honor. And we ask, Lord, that you would show us tonight, teach us tonight concerning Joseph and the fact that he was at your disposal in all things, and that you would make us such a people as well. We rejoice in your word this night through Christ our Lord. Amen. Joseph, a man at God's disposal. When we read about Joseph, there are many things that I want to talk about concerning Joseph, some things in general as well that I won't get to quite until the end of the sermon that I've been musing upon. But I wanted us to begin at the beginning in Matthew 1:18, when we are introduced to the legal father of the Lord Jesus Christ, since he was not the biological father, but he was his legal father, whose genealogy stretched back to David as Mary's did. And what I want us to think about with Joseph tonight is that Joseph was at the disposal of God. He was at God's disposal to do the will of the Lord. And first of all, I want us to see that Joseph was a just man. He was a just man. And what that means, it says in verse 19 that Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. The Greek word is dikaios. He wanted to do what was right in this situation. He was at the disposal of God. Joseph truly loved Mary, and he was heartbroken over her apparent infidelity when she comes up pregnant. The Greek scholar A.T. Robertson said, "It is clear that Joseph was minded to put her away privily. He could give her a bill of divorcement, and which was laid down in the Mishnah, without a public trial. He had to give her the writ and pay the fine, according to Deuteronomy 24. So he proposed to do this privately to avoid all the scandal that was possible. One is obliged to respect and sympathize with the motives of Joseph, for he evidently loved Mary and was appalled to find her untrue, as he supposed." The word just or dikaios means Joseph was three different things. First of all, from a religious viewpoint, Joseph was rightly related to God by a blood sacrifice. Secondly, from a legal standpoint, Joseph was an honest, law-abiding man. Thirdly, from a moral standpoint, Joseph was upright and just. He was at the disposal of God. First of all, from a religious standpoint, Joseph was rightly related to God through the prophesied sacrifice of a promised Redeemer. He was looking for the promised Redeemer, trusting in his shed blood to wash away his sins. Everything of the text that we have of Joseph, and we only have Joseph up to a certain point, but everything within the text show us Joseph as a man rightly related to God, respecting the sacrifices in the temple, following the birth of his son. He's there dutifully, as he should be, and that he understood and was looking for that promised Redeemers that others were as well, knowing that Mary was a poor sinner herself, because he was a poor sinner, because he needed a sacrifice. So he understood that Mary was a poor sinner as well. Therefore, he had compassion upon her apparent sin. He's going to learn differently. But as far as he knows, as far as the facts present themselves to him, she has committed adultery. But having said that, we see the compassion of Joseph. Why? Because he was rightly related to God through a blood sacrifice. He knew that he was a poor sinner and that Mary was as well. Secondly, from a legal standpoint, Joseph was an honest, law-abiding man. That's what this word just means. He had options in the law of God. He could make it very public. He could disgrace Mary and distance himself from this whole ugly affair. But instead, he decided that he would quietly write out the reason for the divorce on the writing of divorcement, hand it into her hand, pay the fine to the priest and spare Mary as much disgrace as possible. Why? Again, because first of all, he was law-abiding. Therefore, he wanted to go through the proper channels and process that God's law had. But he did it with compassion, knowing himself to be a great sinner as well. Thirdly, from a moral standpoint, Joseph was upright and just. Having mused his options as a citizen of Israel, he determined upon compassion and grace. He believed what was just and equal. He believed what was morally just and equal was to spare Mary as much grief as possible in love to her. Are we at God's disposal? Are we men who are just? Are we right with God through Jesus Christ, experiencing the grace of God in our life? Do we weigh all things according to the law of God? Do we act in all things according to the gospel of God, having compassion in our souls? As Jude said in verse 22 of his epistle, and of some have compassion, making a difference. He was at God's disposal. He was, as the text says, a just man. Secondly, he was a thoughtful man. Being at God's disposal, he did nothing rash, but weighed out his options prayerfully and reverently. There are many who would immediately do something and very rashly determine everything out within a very short amount of time. But it says in verse 20, but while he thought upon these things was when God came to him. While he thought upon these things, had he rushed to a decision and immediately exposed her, it would have made the situation worse because he did not wait. He was not patient, but he was patient. Are you a man at God's disposal? Do you wait to be led of the Spirit of God, or do you rush at what the flesh demands? Galatians 5:16 says, this I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. They are contrary to the other. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Men who walk in the Spirit are thoughtful men. They are not rash men. Because they know their own hearts. Because they know the deceitfulness of their own hearts and the necessity of being directed by the Spirit of God in their life. The Scripture tells us in Romans 12, we are to be rejoicing in hope and patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. That's Joseph. While he waited upon these things, while he sought the direction of the Lord. Paul says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The psalmist says, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their masters, and the eyes of a maiden to the hand of their mistress, our eyes wait upon the Lord our God till he has mercy upon us. Isaiah says, I will wait upon the Lord that hides his face from the house of Jacob. I will look for him. And certainly God seemed to have hidden his face from Joseph at this point when this apparent infidelity came before him. But he waited because he was a man at God's disposal. It was not his life. It was the life of God in him. He was a just man. He was a thoughtful man. He was a reverent man. It says that while he thought on these things, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take to thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She'll bring forth a son. You'll call his name Jesus. He'll save his people from their sins. All this was done that it might be fulfilled by what was spoken by Isaiah. A virgin shall be with child and bring forth a son and call his name Emmanuel, God with us. So Joseph, raised from the sleep, did as the angel of the Lord bid him and took unto Mary his wife. So Joseph, just like his namesake, Joseph, no doubt, was named after the great patriarch in the Old Testament, as many were. Joseph, like his namesake, feared the Lord. He revered the Lord. When God spoke, Joseph was at God's disposal, no matter how unusual God's request. Joseph knows that men will not believe him when he says what the angel said to him. I know you think my wife has been unfaithful to me, but I'm telling you, an angel told me that this is God with us. Joseph knows that he must bear the shame of disgrace among most of the people. The unbelievers will scoff, and they did scoff. And they scoffed all the way through his life. Some of the saints would understand and would at least ponder it in their hearts, even if they couldn't understand. But many of the saints would still wonder and cast a doubtful eye about what Joseph said. Joseph knew that. But Joseph is at God's disposal. He fears God. He reverences his word. And like Luther, he would say, "Here I stand, I can do no other. My mind is held captive to the word of God." The word of God had come to him, and that's all he could do. So Joseph was at the disposal of God, a just man, a thoughtful man, a reverent man, and a God-glorifying man. Notice verse 25, "And he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." His aim was the glory of God. He sought not to bring any reproach upon God's name, God's word, or God's work. He would not have sexual relationships with his own wife because others might doubt the word of the Lord. He would not rob God of the glory that belonged to him. He would magnify the Lord in the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophet beyond the shadow of a doubt. So they understood that he had no relations with her, that this child was God with us. It was a holy child within. And it was as though he dared not touch Mary until that child was delivered, till the Shekinah glory entered into the world. He was in awe of God. Joseph was a God-glorifying man. He was a just man, a thoughtful man, reverent, God-glorifying. And he was a man who was ready to leave everything for Jesus Christ. And that is a requirement, right? To the rich young ruler, sell everything you have. Follow me. That's the requirement. The requirement when God comes to us, he says that you'll belong to me and you'll be at my disposal, whatever I say. That's discipleship. Matthew 2 and verse 11. "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and they worshiped. And they, when they had opened their treasures, presented gold and frankincense and myrrh. Being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they departed, the angel of the Lord again appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, 'Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee into Egypt, be there till I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him.' When he arose," that is, when he arose from this dream immediately, "he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled what was spoken by the prophets, 'Out of Egypt I called my son.'" We all know that when the wise men came, it wasn't the infant Jesus, that it was a young child at that point. There had been some time intervening here. And they had remained in Bethlehem. And I can't give you the reason, except perhaps they did not wish to go back to Nazareth with all the scandal that was there among those people. They remained in Bethlehem. He took up his trade of carpentry. He provided for his family. And in time, the Magi come and visit with the family, presenting them those gifts. And then he's told to go down to Egypt. Now, his life has been turned on its head already. He's got a wife who no one's ever had before, a wife who bears the Messiah. He's in Bethlehem now, away from his hometown of Nazareth. And now he is asked to go down to Egypt. Now he's asked to go into a foreign country. He is at God's disposal. He will go into a strange land. He will leave behind the Holy Land, leave behind the temple, leave behind the worship of God, the oracles of God there, where he would have worshipped regularly, the synagogue, and he goes into Egypt to be a stranger and a pilgrim. So we must ever be ready to leave all for Christ. He is a man of faith. He will have to set up shop there once again to make a living, though God did provide gold through the Magi to help him in this journey and on this trip. But we know that in the provision of that gold, it was not he had not won the jackpot. Okay, he wasn't set for life, because we know that when he comes into the temple and presenting the child, he comes as a poor man. And when he returns to Nazareth once again, he takes up his trade once again as a necessary caring for his family. Sixthly, Joseph was a man of obedience. This is what we've been seeing. He's under orders. So Joseph, as a man of obedience, we've seen the pattern already set for us. In Matthew 1:24, he's raised from his sleep and he does as the angel of the Lord tells him to do. He takes Mary. 2:14, he arises from his sleep in the dream, the vision, and he takes the young child and he goes into Egypt. 2:19, when Herod was dead, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, go into the land of Israel. They are dead that sought the young child's life." He arose and took the young child and his mother. So we see the pattern of his life. Joseph is a man at God's disposal. This is what we are to be. This is what we are to be. We are to be a man, a woman, a people at God's disposal. When God bids us do, we are to be ready to do whatever he bids us do. And Joseph was a man directed by the Spirit of God. This man at God's disposal walked in the Spirit. It says that he came into the land of Egypt and he heard that Archelaus reigned in the stead of his father, and he was afraid. Barnes writes, he heard that Archelaus did reign. Archelaus possessed a cruel and tyrannical disposition similar to his father. At one of the Passovers, he caused 3,000 of the people to be put to death in the temple and city. And for his crimes, after he reigned for 9 years, he was banished by Augustus, the Roman emperor, to Gaul, where he died. Knowing his character and fearing that he would not be safe there, Joseph hesitated about going there, and then was directed by God to go to Galilee, a place of safety. So he was a man of wisdom. He had a right to be concerned about Archelaus. These were vicious, vicious men. And not only was he wise, but he was open to being directed by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God directs him into Galilee, so that, again, that Christ can be known as the one Galilee of the Gentiles. He was a man at God's disposal. And then finally, Joseph was a humble man. He was a humble man. And thought about this. Thought about, first of all, how he was willing to bear reproach. Every woman in Israel, we are told, when you read the life of Israel, every woman in Israel thought, wished, desired that perhaps she would be the mother of the Christ, of the Messiah who was to come. But what of the father? You never hear about that. Who wanted to be the father? Who wished to be the father who wasn't the father? Who wished to be really the unsung hero in many ways? He was a man who was, he was not the father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was the legal father of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he was not the biological father. He was a secondary figure in many ways. He had to take a lower seat over and over again. There were many prophecies. We go through the story. We got angels all over the place, coming to see Joseph, coming to see Mary, coming to see Zacharias. We have Mary prophesying in Luke chapter 1. We have Elizabeth prophesying. We have Zacharias prophesying. We have Simeon prophesying. We have Anna prophesying. Joseph never prophesied. Never prophesied. Joseph was not a scribe. Joseph was a carpenter, is what Joseph was. This is what he was. He was a man of trade. He was a man of trade who faithfully plied his trade to support himself, and then to take a wife under this sense of shame and disgrace in the community, took that wife, knowing it was of God, continued to apply his trade in Bethlehem, continued to apply his trade, as far as we know, when he went to Egypt, and when he came back from Egypt as well. And throughout his life, he was known as just that, because when Christ comes forth, and Christ comes forth with these gracious words and with his power as a preacher, it's said in Luke 4:22 that all bore him witness and wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, isn't this Joseph's son? Because Joseph wasn't a scribe. Joseph wasn't a speaker. Joseph wasn't an orator. He was just the carpenter. He was a righteous man. He was a faithful man, but he was just a carpenter. When he came to bring the infant child to give the sacrifice, he was not wealthy enough to bring a lamb. He brought two turtle doves instead. Such was the condition, the mean condition of the family as well. So Joseph was a humble man, and I appreciate that. I appreciate Joseph for that, that we don't have to be the one who is on display to do the work and will of God. Joseph provided protection. He provided provision for his family. And Joseph was the man under whom the Lord Jesus Christ was raised. He was perhaps an older man when he was married. We don't know, but we know this, that he's not there anymore at the cross because Mary is being given into the hand of somebody else. So Joseph probably has died. And I don't know. It's because he was older. It could have been. He could have been older when he married, or else he was taken away in some other fashion. But what we see in Joseph is a man who is faithful. A man who is faithful at a trade, just a trade. And I appreciate God's work and working through men of trade. Men of trade. My father was a man of trade, and it was a very mean and low trade according to the world. He was a janitor. He got raised to the position of custodian. That was, he got a new name, but he was always a janitor. That's what he was. He cleaned up the messes at the elementary school in our town. That's what my dad did. But my dad also took us to church. And my dad was faithful. And we had a stable home. You see, Christ was given a stable place. And I wonder sometimes if he wasn't older, just like Elizabeth and Zacharias, who, being older and wiser, raised John the Baptist to be the man that he was. And that perhaps God gave to the Christ, the Holy Child, an older and wiser person also to be under, to watch. That he was just not righteous as far as he just wasn't orthodox in his beliefs, but he was also righteous, upright in his behavior as a carpenter, honest, an honest man. So Joseph, he was at God's disposal. And while he faithfully plied his simple trade and did what he needed to do, he could not comprehend his own son that he is raising. Scripture says that Joseph and his mother marveled at the things that were spoken about him when he was an infant. And then when he was in the temple at 12 years of age, and Christ said to his mother, "How is it that you sought me? Did you not know I must be about my father's business?" And it had said that they were both seeking him, sorrowing. It wasn't just Mary. It was Mary and Joseph who were in agony, wondering where the child is. Even so, it says that they understood not the saying which he spoke to them, that his father couldn't understand the son, and that the son no doubt outstripped his father very early in the Holy Scriptures and an understanding of it. And it takes a very large man, a very godly man, to have a son who outstrips you at the age of 12 and to raise him in love and care and delight. So though he could not comprehend him, he loved him, he provided for him, he continued faithful to death, which seems to have come before the Christ's death as well. So what Joseph was, and what I see in Joseph, is that he was a faithful man. He was a man at God's disposal. A man at God's disposal. Do you have tremendous gifts? If you do, they are to be at God's disposal. They belong to God. If you're the most brilliant person in the world, the greatest orator, the richest man, it belongs to God. It belongs to God. If you are a man in the lowest position, in the meanest position, in the most poor position, and yet you are faithful to God, all of that belongs to God. Your life belongs to God. Your influence belongs to God. If you're working side by side with those steel workers, if you're working side by side with those linemen, if you're working side by side with whoever it is, you are to be at God's disposal as well. God is not just in the business of using men of great talent. He is in the business of using men of one talent. And if that one man buries his talent, he is not happy with that. Joseph did not. Joseph was a man at God's disposal.